welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, this is an early morning recording sesh for us, so it's a little bit different. Very busy people. We're all extremely busy in high demand. Well, two of us are extremely busy right now, one of us less so. But we're all very much in high demand. But
he's very committed to not being busy, so this was a demand on his time.
Intentionally not busy. That's right. This is a demand. And boys, I am counteracting the early hour by enjoying a hot cup of Lagares Roasters coffee. And Piper, there's a special giveaway this week with Lagares Roasters coffee, is there not?
There is. So there's a limited supply of books provided by Gospel Centered Discipleship, who is it's a publishing label, website, just sort of a collection of like-minded pastors, ministry people who do discipleship and ministry-oriented books. The book is called Make Mature Multiply by Brandon Smith, who's actually a coworker of mine. Generally a great guy. He's the guy who walks into my office and leaves rude messages on my whiteboard periodically as inspiration, which I enjoy. So he's one of those kind of friends, the best sort of friends, the ones who are good people and mean. So the book is Make Mature Multiply. If you order Lagares Roasters coffee, Happy Rant Signature Roast, you will get a free copy of it while supplies last. So jump on that.
Now, Piper, I envision a guy named Brandon being under the age of 30. Am I right about that?
Well, I mean, at some point he has to be over 30, right?
Well, yeah.
He's my age, so he's mid-30s.
All right, mid-30s. Okay. Yeah, I was close. I was in the wheelhouse.
There's like that 10-year window of Brandon's.
Yeah. I feel like Brandon is going to age eventually. I mean, they're in like a decade, they'll be middle-aged Brandons, but for now, can you
imagine somebody who's like 70 being a Brandon or a Kyle?
No,
you know, like there's no like old men named Kyle.
Yeah, or old
Kyle,
or my favorite Trevor.
Oh, Trevor. Yeah. Trevor's fantastic. Like an old man named Trevor, zipping up an old man windbreaker and like shuffling along the beach. I can't picture it.
Hey, Trev, tell us how things were back in the 90s.
Yeah, Trev, tell us about the 90s, Grandpa. You know, amazing.
Oh, Nirvana. What a band.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Getting all wistful about Nirvana.
Remember back when we used to have bands, Trev?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, what are the next bands going to be? I think stuff is going so inward and so like me focused. Nobody's going to want to listen to a band because it's not about them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You have to, a band is too much about sharing things.
The band is too much about sharing. It's too communal. Much about someone else.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think
communal,
but you kind of see it in the more like singer songwriter underground music. There are some pretty good groups on that side, but they tend to be small. It's like, you know, a couple vocalists, a couple instrumentalists, but then there's other groups. Like there's this group called Snarky Puppy, which is a terrible band name.
Yeah.
But it's basically like 12 or 14 high end musicians. It's just sort of a jam band. Huh. And so they, you know, so there's like a horn section and guitars and multiple percussionists and keys and then they're all like studio musicians and in other bands, but they get together as this collection. And so there are those kinds of things. I think there always will be, but the days of like seminal bands, you know, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, the Beatles, you know, Rolling Stones, whoever, I feel like that might be gone.
Dude, I mean, it goes in cycles, right? It goes in cycles. So you're going to, I mean, at some point, it's not super big right now because we're kind of in the midst of like, you know, hip hop artists, soloists, you know, it'll come back.
I want to know if there's going to be another great hip hop group, because the hip hop group days,
well, that's been gone for a
left
long time.
And never they never came back. Like bands are always there, maybe around the fringes, but the hip hop group is gone.
Yeah, I think there's going to be no shared kind of communal, you know, looking back experiences for the Trevor generation, though. You know what I mean? Like whereas people our age get together and we're all kind of nostalgic for the same five or six albums or whatever. Like I think the Trevors of the world, what are they going to reminisce about? Remember when we all like looked at our own stuff on YouTube? I don't know.
Well, no, it's more like it's more Spotify generation, right? So they're not really going to be locked into artists as much as they are just individual songs. Remember that song?
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Interesting. You know what people are going to look back and be wistful for though, boys, is Together for the Rant live in Louisville too. I think this is going to be perhaps the communal touch point for the Trevor generation. And Pipe, we have one week remaining to get the cheap tickets for that. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, at the time this releases, there will be like 2 days left. So if you're an early listener, this is sort of your last warning. And obviously, we'll push it out on social and things like that. But tickets are $10 for Together for the Rant, April 10th in Louisville, Kentucky, on the eve of Together for the Gospel. We decided we were allowed to say the name simply because they need to ride our coattails.
They need the help. So they need the promotion. I feel like they're kind of struggling.
They struggle to fill the Yum Center. We don't struggle to fill a room at Sojourn East. So clearly we're better. So $10 through the end of January. So January 31st. And then tickets jump to $15. So still not expensive, very, very affordable. But you get a significant discount percentage-wise if you just go ahead and order now. So go ahead and get yours. If you're thinking about coming with a group, if you're already planning to be in town for T4G, why not actually have a good time before going and listening to 32 straight hours of sermons on Calvinism?
Absolutely. And to be clear, we're playing the main room there at Sojourn East, right? We're playing the big hall. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so if you go to happyrantpodcast.com, you can get the to Ligar's Roasters, like we mentioned just a moment ago, but you can also find tickets to the event there. So happyrantpodcast.com is the one-stop place to get all of your coffees and your tickets and other amazingness.
Sounds great, Pipe. Now, I have to tell you, Barnabas, you sound healthier and in a better frame of mind this morning than I expected, given what happened to your Vikings last night. And there's a little bit of a story behind this in that our very own Ron Martin was out to dinner and happened to be in the same room as a TV that was playing the Vikings game. And he thought about you. Am I right in that? Am I framing that correctly, Big R?
Yeah, no, that's correct. Yeah, me and Big M doing a little Mexican food last night, and lo and behold, there were all of these dudes wearing very tight fitting purple outfits, playing with these oblong brown balls.
Tight fitting because the gentlemen were slightly overweight, or tight fitting like Lycra on a bicyclist.
Yeah, I think both. It reminded me of days gone by when I used to go to the ballet. It was very similar to that. There was, again, that's a whole other thing that we can get into down the road, or you guys can get into on that subsidiary podcast that you guys do. But, so we were sitting there and then.
At all.
No, I don't resent at all. I literally, there's not an ounce of resentment.
No feelings for it.
Zero feelings. Right now, I'm completely neutral. Completely
neutral.
Right now, as I'm speaking, and the anger is rising up in my heart.
Welling up.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there and we're watching the Vikings game, and I don't know. We had one of those brief moments of silence. Me and Big M. Usually we just chatted up forever. And I looked and I said, "Hey," I go, "I think that's Pipe's team up there." And then I looked at the score once I could fish through all the various degrees of like multiplications and numbers they had on the screen. And I said, "I think they're losing." And not only are they losing, but they're losing like really bad. And then right as I said that, like the other team, whatever the Philadelphia. The Philadelphia like squirrels or whatever they are, like they scored another touchdown. And I thought, oh man, poor Pipe. I go, this must be really, really hard for him. And then so it just kind of continued on from there. And I think the squirrels scored like two or three more touchdowns. And I said, oh, he's really having a bad night. So we just had a night talking about Pipe and just sort of envisioning what he might be going through. It was wow. Sad. It was sad, but it was also meaningful to us because it gave us a reason to actually watch those dudes in the tights. And that's kind of what the big idea was for us.
Interesting. So were you offended initially that you had picked a restaurant that was so mainstream that it had, this stuff going on in it?
We just kind of expected it. And it was kind of fascinating because it was like, so we're in California. Nobody cared. So like every time the squirrels like scored a touchdown, nobody cared. Like there was no like emotion. There was no like, the whole thing, like when you're in that kind of setting. So it was kind of like everybody's just eating their food barely. Like we were watching the game more than anybody else in the restaurant. It was kind of fascinating.
Do you feel like California is post sports, baby? Like they've just evolved beyond that?
Baby, you know what? That's a great question. Again, welcome to Happy Rant Sports. But I think
I know that you're post sports, that you've evolved beyond it. But would you say?
I was born evolved past it. No, but what's interesting is that, not to sound like snobbish, but it's just true. But
we would never do that.
But you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about this, Big T? And I would like to hear you riff on this a little bit. Again, when we do our next sports podcast. But what's crazy is that I feel like Californians in general. Like they don't have that kind of like ferocious fandom when it comes to sports teams. They're like, they don't allow themselves to be that rabid about their luck.
Except for Raiders fans.
Yeah, but they're Northern California. We don't really count them as Californians. So that's kind of the vibe. You're not Southern California. You're kind of not really a Californian, to be honest.
So this is the funny thing about that, Big R. So I think you're right. I agree 100% with what you're saying, except that the NFL continues like decade after decade to like want to put teams into that market. So now there are two NFL teams playing in Los Angeles, the most apathetic market in the league traditionally.
But they're going to pack it out. They'll still pack it out.
I don't know. They always start packing it out and then they lose interest really quickly, I think is the...
The NFL needs to realize that football does best in cities that suck.
Yes, that's right.
Like just that are not fun to live in.
Because that becomes their hope and their dreams is their...
Or especially between the months of like October and January where the weather just gets progressively worse. You need to have something to live for. Like if you live in San Diego or Los Angeles, the months between October and January are exactly like the months between January and October. And so you're still going to the beach. You're still, rollerblading or whatever it is Southern California.
Dude, that's epic. You just said rollerblading.
You know what? I envision like 90s like teal spandex and people rollerblading around.
Yeah, Trevor is rollerblading right now down like Venice Beach, but like he's the only guy doing that, right? Because that brings him back to his youth.
But he's doing it ironically because he's only like 24,
Right, maybe. Right. Yeah. But that's awesome. Yes.
Baby, have you done any rollerblading on this trip out west?
Oh, that's all we do. I mean, we're back in California. All we do is we just rollerblade. We rollerblade and we rollerblade and we wonder what the Raiders are up to. That's what we do.
You put on a little teal military jacket and you rollerblade all the live long day. I love it.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's rollerbladed in, I don't know. Hold on, let me ask Big M. Babe, do people rollerblade anymore? I'm dying to know. We got a couple of fellas here online that on the pod that want to know that. Baby only in Venice. She said, "Baby only in Venice.
Only in Venice." Well, there you have it. This is a little trip to California via Ronald J. Martin, and I want to stay on that. And then Big R, I want to ask you a question about the ballet. I want to do this later, so don't let me forget. Okay. You mentioned that earlier, but I want to lead us into a segment entitled Ronnie at Leisure. I feel like that's just kind of the theme of this whole show so far. So we have Ronnie at dinner, and now we have What's that?
It's called Rad.
Yeah, Ronnie. Wait, Ronnie at dinner. Rad. Okay,
Ronnie at dinner.
So Ronnie at Leisure is just kind of a catch-all for everything that's happening with Ronald J. Martin right now, and we have an experience in which Ronnie entered an independent Christian bookstore. So Big R, why don't you set the scene for us on that?
Well, dude, so, when I grew up, they had all the big a couple of the big chain stores that used to exist out here. One of them was called Berean Books, right? And all those things tanked, they went under.
Yeah.
And so all that's left really are there's probably some Lifeway stores. I don't know. But there's mainly like independent, like indie Christian bookstores.
Okay.
And so where we're staying, there just happened to be one called The Parable or something like that. And so while Big M was doing some shopping, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna step in. I'm gonna do a little pre-show prep and I'm gonna step into a little The Parable and just like see what they have. And it was it was fascinating. Okay. You know what I mean? Because these things can be all over the place. Like you can go into some of these stores and it's all like gift stuff. Like all it is like gift stuff. Uh-huh. And this one was kind of weird because they didn't have a bunch of like gift stuff, but it was more like they had all books. It was legit. When they said The Parable, they meant like, man, we're all about books. And they had everything. And they had all, again, just what you'd think. I mean, they had everything from like on the bestseller list. They had everything from like Joseph Prince or whatever his name is, all the way to like Timmy Kaye, all the way to like the multitude of like Jesus calling books, all
of that. Did they have a little Frankie? Was there some Frankie Chan there?
Frankie was kind of buried. Frankie was a little buried, because he probably hasn't had a book out in a while. But but it was interesting to see like the stuff that they featured. And obviously they're going to feature things that sell. But I always kind of walk into those things wondering like, dude, is there a reason why you're carrying those titles as opposed to those titles? And again, I know it's market driven, but I'm always waiting to walk into that store where they're like, dude, no, we're not going to carry Freddie Prinze, and we're not going to carry, you know, like, you know, Osteen and those kinds of things. We're going to keep it legit. And of course, this store was clearly not that. But dude, it was the volume of books they had. I just got to tell you, boys, it was shocking because there were a lot. There were a ton of books. Now, it was shocking.
Baby, were there people in there? Were like there other patrons? Did you get the sense that business was brisk for them?
Oh, it was booming. It was me and one other guy in there for going on like 45 minutes. Yeah, it was not brisk.
Did you purchase anything yourself?
No, I didn't, because again, you know, everything was about $22 more than you could get it on, you know, Amazon Prime. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Pipe, I want to ask you, what are the odds that in this independent bookstore that Ron was in, that there was a Barnabas Piper title there? Do you feel confident that there was?
No, I don't feel terribly confident that there was.
That's a good feeling to have, Pipe.
If there was, it's because they were just scrolling the list of Pipers as they were restocking, and they're like,
a little John,
and then they're like, ah, this other guy, and then they either thought I was Don or John because they only read the last name or something, and so they just, you know, if it happened, it was by accident, and then they probably stuck it in, you know, they stuck it in the wrong section. It's like the Christian inspiration section or something along those lines. So I'd put the odds at like 1 out of 6 that it was there.
There you go.
Boys, I looked. So, you know, we don't have to spec here. I looked, and I think what I saw was that, and I don't know how you're going to like this answer, but I didn't see anything from the three of us except for, and I can't quite remember, but I think one of your sports books was in there, Big T. Something
really?
You did something that you did with like one of the, like with the main author. You know, it was this guy with Ted Kluck, one of those. Right. I think it was the last one you did with the dude, the football dude. I think that one might have been in there.
I did one with Jim Kelly, and then I did a book about Robert Griffin III, the old Redskins quarterback.
I think it was the one before that you just said. Jim I think Kelly, that one was in there.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see Jim Kelly being a because that's sort of an inspirational story. If it wasn't that, it was going to be Jeremy Lin, because didn't you do, you did like a quick Jeremy Lin one? Or was
I did it. Yeah, I did a quick Jeremy Lin one, but that was only in ebook form. So that was back when everyone thought they could sell ebooks, and they were all excited about that. And the Jim Kelly book I did just before Jim Kelly became relevant again. So, you know, we really kind of botched the timing on that, but hey, it sounds like it's thriving out there on the West Coast. So I think Jim Kelly and I are kind of huge in California. You know, we have a following out there with among the enlightened Californians.
Baby, they had one of your cutouts. I mean, there was a cutout of you and Jim with like your arms around, you know, the big cardboard cutout. That was, so that was, I don't know if they had the book.
He was wearing your glasses.
We were guffawing about it together in the way that former football players guffaw about things.
Yeah, you had this big smile on your face, and Jim looked like he was like cracking up, like you just said something funny. It was like that. Yeah. It was sweet.
It's wonderful. I'm sure he's a happy rant listener.
It was sweet. Know. Yeah.
He was probably thinking about something we said on the program.
Yeah, it was. He was for sure. Yeah. So that was my experience at the bookstore. And I mean, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I was in, you know, one of these types of bookstores. But I'm always kind of fascinated if I see one and they're kind of indie. I always kind of like to stop in and like see what I'm going to be given. Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Baby, I have a couple of other like random Ronnie at Leisure questions that I want to lob at you before we draw this segment to a close. You mentioned beforehand that you used to go to the ballet. Is this real, or were you just making a joke?
No, I was kind of just making a joke because the outfits are so similar to me. But yeah, my sister used to do some of that, so I used to have to go to the ballet, as the Irish call it, you know. And so we used to kind of have to do that growing up. You know, we were sort of drugged to the ballet, you know, to see my sister like do her thing, and you know, just, you know, as an 8-year-old, you know, where they're sort of just like clumping around pretending to do ballet, but they're really not. Yeah, and it was one of those things. But so I don't have a lot of love for it. It's not really, you know, it's not really something that I feel drawn to necessarily, but I enjoy the outfits. What can I say?
The reason I ask, man, is it's related to the outfits. So, my kids' school, they took them on a field trip to see like the local ballet. So it was like community ballet. and all these kids, and granted,
is that like what they did for the kids in detention?
No, seriously, it's what they did for all the kids. And
yeah,
you know, my youngest son is a middle school boy now, so you can imagine like all these kids talked about were the outfits, because it was like Junk City. You know what I mean? Like the outfits, nothing to the imagination. This can be,
which is saying something, given the imaginations of middle school.
Exactly.
Boys. Like, they, you know, you could drape them in like a burlap sack and wrap them in a blanket, and the middle school boy could still imagine. So leaving nothing to the imagination is unkind.
Exactly. And I asked my wife, I was like, are these like professional ballet guys that they bring in, I don't know, from like Chicago or Nashville or what? And she's like, no, they're just community people. So, dude, the whole thing just sounded horrifying to me.
Well, dude, you know what's so crazy about that? It's like, so my old man, John F. Martin, right? John Francis Martin. Francis was his middle name, by the way.
That's an incredible name. John Francis. That's a strong mid-century name. I like
it. It is. We called him John F. So John F., this is what's crazy, man. So he's this gruff Navy dude, right? And he grew up in downtown L.A. And it was like – One of the great shames of his life was that when he was like 10 years old, and I think it was like of the time, like he had to take ballet classes. And I don't know, you know, he went to Catholic school. I don't know what the tie-in was with it, but he used to tell us the story and say, yeah, I took ballet. And I think he loved it because he knew it kind of shocked us and it was a bit of a ha-ha. Yeah, but, right. But it was like, no, he legitimately took ballet, and everybody he told that to, like, nobody ever believed him. But he used to talk about, oh, yeah, I took it for like, you know, I took a 6-month ballet class when I was 10 years old.
Is that from like the same era when they would teach like square dancing in gym class?
Totally. They would teach etiquette.
Yeah. And then the boys, like, they'd split gym class into boys and girls, and they'd have like the dank swimming pool in the basement of the school, and the boys had to like swim nude because it was creepy as all get out back in the day.
Yeah, it was a different era, right? So you had to learn, like, that was them learning how to like do proper dancing. Yeah. You know, ballet was something that was going to help with like, hey, we're going to teach you guys coordination, right? It was like those types of things back in the day, right?
At the same time, in the same era, they would like, the next unit would be boxing, and it's like, we're going to put you in boxing gloves and have you like fight to the death. You know, and
it was like stuff like that. Like they taught like stuff that they thought they were actually going to need and use and help them in life. And of course, everybody graduated and went into the service back then. So they thought that ballet stuff was going to help them on a Navy ship. You know what I mean? Somehow.
Well, I will say this, given what my kids do in gym class these days, I would rather have a rotation of boxing and ballet than like cup stacking and jump roping.
Dude,
like,
what do they do? What do they do nowadays? Just kind of talk out their feelings.
they try really hard not to hurt anybody's body or soul. Like there's, if we can't hurt feelings and we can't hurt fingers, right. Gym class is kind of lame. Yeah. You know,
it's a small group.
It's basically a series of signing waivers saying, I won't sue you for all the things we're not allowed to do.
Waiver
anyway.
Signing class. They get to work through a lot of paperwork, which I think is probably really preparing them for real life, to be honest.
I was going
to
say, that's what PE stands for.
That's what it stands
paperwork.
For now.
It's PW now. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Boys, one more question, Big R. One more Ronnie at Leisure question. What do you and Big M talk about all the time? Like, because you don't have any kids in the house now, and like, so you're not dealing with those problems, and you spend a lot of time together, and you guys just chatted up the whole time. Like, what are you talking about? Give me a smattering of topics.
Literally, right now we talk about our feelings all day. That's what we do.
Wow,
we're literally talking about our feelings. Because
this is sort of a I don't know, existential question. So bear with me. But do you ever just get sick of yourselves, of your own feelings? Like,
constantly.
I'm tired of talking about what I feel.
You know, I'll tell you what, I never get sick of talking about my own feelings, but I'm looking over at a woman right now named Big M, Melissa Martin, who is, I'm guessing, incredibly tired after 23 years of hearing Big R talk about his feelings. But we're here to talk about feelings. I mean, that's part of what we're doing, because we're trying to, you know, get to some places, right? Is what you do on these sabbaticals. And so, yeah, there's a lot of talking about feelings. There's a lot of signing some waivers to make sure that we're not hurting the other person's feelings. So we start out the morning, you know, signing some papers and making sure like everything's square with that. But
Not to, far be it for me to suggest how to spend your sabbatical, but what if you took a sabbatical from your feelings? Don't you think at some level that would be helpful?
I literally don't even, I'm going to have to process my feelings on how I feel about what you just said, because that feels crazy.
Well, use the Enneagram. That way you can slap some numbers on your feelings. It just helps everybody categorize.
Yeah.
It.
I mean, we talk about the Enneagram. We probably only spend like 3 or 4 hours talking about like how the Enneagram applies to our feelings.
To the Enneagram for you.
Yeah. Like I said, 3 or 4 hours, we've trimmed it down quite a bit.
Yeah.
We've trimmed it quite a bit. Yeah. Wow. So it's exhausting. I've never been this exhausted in my life for having, you know, been on a sabbatical.
You're going to need to go back to work to get away from your sabbatical. You know, it'll be rest.
To get away from talking about my feelings all day. Absolutely. Yeah, it's exhausting. I mean, I need to get to a T4R just so we can talk about other things. And that'll be, you guys realize T4R is going to be my first step into, practically my first step back into normal life. So I'm going to have a lot of pent up feelings that need to be discussed. It's going to be great.
So you're sabbatting until T4R. That's huge, baby.
I'm sabbatting until Easter, which in T4R is like the week after Easter. So man, I'm right there. Yeah. Right up to the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really Easter. It's T4R. You know, I mean, that's the big, you know, day for us, obviously.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Well, it sounds like Big R, maybe you don't need this next topic because the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning is the thought of an entire day filled with unpacking your own feelings. Am I right about that?
I mean,
but you don't really need to be motivated. You don't need external motivation.
Yeah, right. It's just, it's hard. It's so there. It's so in the air. We're swimming in it right now.
Right. Right. What's my favorite thing to talk about? Oh, wait, it's me. For those of us who don't feel that way, there's a variety of motivational materials, talks, books. It seems like this is always a huge section at the bookstore, and people are kind of forever listening to motivational talks. Does that stuff work for you? And if not, who does it work for?
Well, I've always been the guy who, you know, you go to like, you know, in high school, it's like a pep rally or they do like an all company meeting and they've got the music and it's like, you know, whatever it is, that's the thing that's supposed to get people energized. And it has the exact opposite effect on me. I just want to leave. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. When I played sports, mm-hmm. coaches yelling at me, pep talks, you know, the win one for the Gipper speech, like all that just made me want to leave. I would happily go and compete hard based purely on the fact that there was an opponent. I didn't need all that stuff. So no, it has the opposite effect. Like the thought of going to like a Tony Robbins convention makes me just want to burn the place to the ground. It sounds so awful to me.
I love that.
It sounds terrible.
I actually love that, Piper. And I'm going to ask you a couple of follow-up questions on that because it's been a very Ronnie-centric episode up to this point. Now, Mike.
But it's been wonderful. I love hearing about Ronnie's feelings about feelings about feelings and Ronnie's dinner. And I appreciate the amount of thought he gave to my Vikings misery. The thought of Ronnie rollerblading in a teal jacket made me smile. Yeah. So it's been good.
I'm not going to say it's been bad, but it has been good. But my question to you, Pipe, is so you probably of the three of us have of the three of us, you probably have kind of the realest job in terms of, you know, it's corporate, like your concern is buying and selling and processing things. And so you probably get exposed to the biggest number of these motivational talks. My question to you is, how many of these have you walked out of early? Like you just, either you look at your phone and you're like, oh, I got to take this, or you just get up and walk out. How many of these have you peaced out on?
In my whatever 12 or 15 year career now, it's been sort of a gradation where it started by sitting through them miserably. Then it went to a period of time of walking out early. And then for the last maybe 6 or 7 years, my spidey senses tingle and I'm like, oh, it's one of those meetings. Oh, I'm not even going. I refuse. I will not go to that thing to hear pump up music and watch the finance guy throw, you know, Nerf balls into the crowd to get everybody excited because we had a big year. Like that is not my
thing.
Dude, that's
incredible. So the finance guy will throw Nerf balls and the Nerf balls have like what your company logo on them?
Yeah. Or like the department name. So if the department crushed their budget this year, so one division or another, they'll throw that, you know, and be like, congratulations guys. I'm like, I don't know. Do you like put this on a trophy case? It's like your 72 cent trophy.
Dude, I was just going to ask you that. Like, isn't the saddest thing in the world envisioning a sales guy like taking that Nerf ball back to his office and like proudly putting it on a shelf. That, for some reason, the image of that like fills me with such despair. Like I need a sabbatical to like to suss out my own feelings on that matter. You know what I mean?
Baby, why don't you come and spend some time with me and Big M, man? You can suss out your feelings with us.
Could I talk about my feelings all the live long day with the two of you? Would that, I feel like that would intrude on your feelings though.
No, that's okay. We'd be able to process our own feelings through your feelings.
Interesting.
I think you might just be depressed.
Everything that I was saying would get filtered through the lens of what you're feeling. So
yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be true, but we would just process it through our feelings.
There you go. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm envisioning.
Your feelings exist for our feelings.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Like I exist just to give you something to talk about is kind of the dynamic of that group.
Yeah, I mean, whatever works to help us express a little more intimately, which is our feelings. Absolutely. Right. Kind of like what we're doing right now.
In light of what Ted just said, that would kind of.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That would give me some motivation. Speaking about motivation.
Interesting. Pipe, is there any of this stuff, like the books, the speakers, et cetera, in kind of that motivation space? Like, is there anything of that that works for you? And sub question, like, what does motivate you? Like, what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning? Like, what does work for you?
I can't think of anything that is described as motivational that motivates me. You know, not speakers, not books, because it's all just – it's trash. So – it's just so empty. You know, it's so, like, essentially boils down to, like, you do you and go get it, you know? Yeah. And it's energy, but like energy based on nothing. So it's just like, well, when the wind blows the other direction, all the energy blows away, you know? It just seems like it has to be a self-propagating thing where you're like, I need energy to get to my next energy boost, as opposed to having any reason to do anything. So
you know what it's analogous to me, Pipe? It's like going to an NBA game in like late February or March between two teams that are like for sure out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And there's all this false energy in the building. Like they're playing like the upbeat hip hop music and the kids like,
yeah, it's like Orlando Charlotte in February.
Yeah. It's like Orlando Charlotte in March. You know, there's no actual energy in the building besides the fake energy that they're pumping.
And they're still playing the Jock Jams album from like 1992.
Exactly.
You know, they're going to go pump up the jam. Yeah, that's a little bit what these things feel like to me. And the thing is, they've just reskinned them all in the publishing world. So, you know, what used to be called self-help is – they don't really call it self-help anymore. It's something else. And they've put more of like an entrepreneur –
it's called Enneagram. And you can put a number on your feelings.
They put a more entrepreneurial spin on it. So it's like, you know, even like Osteen, you know, he still sells a billion books, but like his stuff's old now. Like that's sort of like that era is somewhat behind us. And now we're into something else that's a little bit more artsy, a little bit more, whatever, but it's all just the same motivational trash. To answer your question about what does work, I just need to be convinced that something is worthwhile. You know, like if something is worth doing, then I don't need anything else. Like you don't need to keep reminding me that it's worthwhile. You don't need to give me a pep talk and be energetic about it. In fact, if you're energetic, I usually want you to go away. I just need to be like, I believe that what I do for work is worthwhile. I believe this podcast is worthwhile. I believe writing is worthwhile. So I get up and I do those things and I enjoy them. And I don't need to be like given a go get 'em speech really ever. It almost always just annoys me.
Pipe, you know what's weird about that, man? I forgot to mention this, man. Not to drag us back to the beautiful baby Christian bookstore, but like they literally had a section, and I kid you not, and they had a self-help section there, and like it was labeled self-help, which is like, you know, the antithesis of everything that like you think.
It was labeled moralistic therapeutic deism.
Dude, seriously, it might as well have been. I mean, it was literally insane because
that's old school though. It's kind of vintage. I feel like, I feel like an independent Christian bookstore in and of itself is kind of vintage. And then calling something self-help is just along the same lines.
I know. It's just like from our end of things, like you would never call anything self-help. You know, that's the, you know, but like they literally had a section called self-help. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, right? In this particular era of Christian books. So, you know, so again, that's where they had all those motivational guys. Right. That's Osteen was under self-help and all of that.
Interesting.
So I thought that was interesting. Yeah, I thought it was really kooky.
So Big R, besides like, you know, talking about your own feelings as the ultimate motivator, like, do you like look to anything to get motivated, anything externally? And it doesn't have to be in this like kind of sappy self-help genre, but what motivates Big R?
Yeah, I think for me, it's probably just more like good books that are really kind of dealing with some stuff that I'm trying to find some, you know, some self-help in. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I stuff that gets me motivated is, it's usually just stuff that's going to help me kind of iron out some of my, overarching issues in my life and that kind of, but again, it's like, I'm with Pipe, you know, anything that reeks and smacks of just, cheerleading, rah, 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 let's get you all pumped up. I mean, that obviously does zero for me. It feels insulting and ridiculous, and it brings me back to high school. And so, I'm looking for a good word here or there that sort of, you know, that kind of reaches in, you know, and kind of speaks to me personally. And, but I don't know, it's usually just books. I don't know. That's the stuff that gets me. Just reading a good book that kind of reveals some things in my own life. And
not to be presumptuous here, but, it sounds to me like you would benefit from the book that I ghostwrote for Jim Kelly. I feel like that would be maybe right up your alley motivationally.
I know a local bookstore that carries it. So maybe I'll buy a copy of it
for $22, even though it's been, you know, nearly a decade since I wrote that.
I'll pay full pop.
Full pop, baby, full pop, and then Big T gets a little piece of the action.
Absolutely, you know? I'm happy to do it.
What motivates you, Ted? What is inspirational to Ted Kluck besides David Foster Wallace?
Yeah, one thing. Not even David Foster Wallace. It's real simple, boys. It's just the Rocky IV soundtrack. All right. So, I like a little training montage, and I like a little Eye of the Tiger. So just kind of keeping it simple, keeping it old school. For me, it's nothing touches the Rocky IV soundtrack as far as motivation. So I'm reminded each and every time I listen of how Rocky ended the Cold War at the minute number 81 of that picture, which was near the end.
So, baby, basically, you just like Foreigner. You need to pick up some old like Foreigner records then.
Like Foreigner. All kidding aside, I enjoy some Foreigner. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, that's enough to get you just pumped, man.
Again, kind of that shared experience though of looking back and thinking about Foreigner. You know, Foreigner would never survive today. They would never play these little mincy, you know, hipster house shows in front of like four people in a living room. You know, you're not getting that from Foreigner.
No, you're not getting that. You need an arena. They need an arena.
Arena. Foreigner only plays arenas. Okay, big arenas. So
kind of like T4, kind of like what we're going to be doing here in a few months.
Kind of like the big room at Sojourn East.
Okay, until we can't fill the big room, and then we're going to make jokes about how we weren't able to fill the big room. Just a little caveat there, but continue on.
Baby, we're filling the big room. I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay. And in fact, when I think about whether or not we're going to fill the big room, I just put a little Rocky IV on and I envision us filling the big room.
So even if we don't fill the big room, if we play a little Rocky IV soundtrack before we don't fill the big room, it'll feel like we filled the big room and it'll be good enough is what you're trying to
listen
tell.
To me. I will be crushed if we don't fill the big room. In fact, I'll be out on the street in Louisville just giving out free tickets just to paper the house. You know what I mean? I want that room full and I want it full and I want it loud. I want it to feel like a Foreigner show in there. Okay. I want to feel like I'm the lead singer of Foreigner that night. That's where I'm at. And I don't know where that puts me on the Enneagram or any of this other fruity nonsense that we've been talking about this morning. But I want a Foreigner-esque experience in Louisville in April. And
Ted, I'm going to say you're a 4-5 on the Enneagram. That's just a off the top guess, but you know,
4-5 on the Enneagram. Foreigner on the Enneagram.
You can stress that. Yeah. 4-5, which kind of rhymes with Foreigner a little bit. That's so you can look it up and suss that out on your own time.
I will suss it out. Now, you know, maybe Double K and I'll spend 8 or 9 hours, you know, the next several days just kind of sussing.
Do you think
that.
That's enough time to do that? Yeah.
That's kind of doing it. That's kind of a quick flyover. You know, that's not a deep dive.
Right.
you know, maybe at some point we'll have that kind of time and we can really delve. Boys, one more thing. This is a news item. All right. This is Happy Rant News. And I just want you to briefly weigh in on this.
Can you do the song first before you get into that?
Dun, 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 dun. This is me shuffling papers in the studio. Dun, 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 dun. Like we're a real news show. Morgan Freeman, famous actor. Here's the thing about Morgan Freeman, okay? You're not allowed to disagree with anything that he says or thinks because he is untouchable.
And if you do,
am I right about
if you do disagree, just listen to his voice for about 35 seconds and you will agree. You'll just agree with his voice even if you don't know the words.
Just watch March of the Penguins and everything will be great again.
Think of the most nonsense thing imaginable coming out of Morgan Freeman's mouth and envision yourself trying to disagree with it. So this is some Morgan Freeman nonsense that I'm going to lay on you. He denounced the Screen Actors Guild trophy for being gender specific. And I'm just going to leave it there. We're not going to get into the specifics of gender specific, but he denounced the trophy and he's being celebrated for it. This is amazing to me. Only when you're Morgan Freeman can you do this. Your thoughts.
Is the trophy gender specific? Is it gender specific? The trophy?
Gender specific, yeah.
Okay.
Is it gender specific like Statue of David or like Community Ballet?
It's Community Ballet specific. That's a great analogy. Yeah, it's Community Ballet.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
you can tell what's going on.
These are important distinctions.
They are. No, if we're going to talk about this like gentlemen, we have to really like get the parameters of the conversation. Pipe, do you have any thoughts on this matter?
It is endlessly amusing to me. The Hollywood's protesting of everything.
Yeah.
Because their inability to recognize how they undermine their own protests by protesting everything. I mean, it's like if everything is awesome, nothing is awesome. If everything is to be protested, then nothing is offensive anymore. And they will celebrate this until they forget to celebrate it in 24 hours and move on to the protest and celebration of the next thing. Like protesting Harvey Weinstein and the exclusion of women and minorities from awards, and those are things that are worthwhile. The protesting of a statue for having, anatomy is, I don't know, it kind of just makes me laugh.
Yeah. I feel like they need to rethink the whole trophy thing altogether, and they need to replace the trophy with just maybe a Nerf ball with like Morgan Freeman's name on it.
That's right. I mean, save some money, throw it into the crowd, be like, congratulations, the best picture Nerf ball goes to.
That's right.
And throw it to the white dude. Yeah, that's right.
Throwing the Nerf ball at Morgan Freeman. It's gender neutral. Nobody's getting offended by the Nerf ball.
Do you think they don't do that because everybody in Hollywood sucks at throwing?
Yeah, they would have to get somebody. They'd have to get, they would need to get Jamie Foxx, who played Willie Beeman in one of Big R and I's favorite movies, Any Given Sunday.
So, now we're talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Ronnie, as the connoisseur of sports films, I bet you could give a pretty detailed breakdown of which fictional quarterbacks and or pitchers are the worst at throwing, because I don't recall seeing almost any fictional athlete who throws like an actual athlete.
Stephen Willie Beeman.
He knew how to throw.
Yes.
He knew how to throw.
Yeah. He's an exception. There are a few, but like, I don't know, Dennis Quaid, for example, playing an old pitcher. He looks like an old actor, trying to teach his kid how to play catch out of obligation or something like that.
No, not to get too deep into the Miami Sharks depth chart from Any Given Sunday, but Dennis Quaid was the incumbent quarterback, Cap Rooney, who was beaten out by Stephen Willie Beeman. So I think both of those gentlemen, if push came to shove, Pipe, they could both handle the Nerf ball situation next year's SAG Awards, which I think is a really elegant solution to this whole, gender statue deal.
Or they could just have like the guild's finance guy throw them out, because that's how the Nerf ball thing works. Because the finance guy picks the Nerf balls because he's saving on sunk and hidden costs.
There you go. I love it. Just so it'd be just like a Lifeway convention, and that the finance guy's doing the throwing with the hip hop music, with the sad hip hop music in the background. I love it.
Well, it would have to be like DC Talk from 1996. Oh my goodness. Because that's That's how you set the tone.
I'm in the depths of sadness right now. And I
that's not motivation. Let's just
make sure, we open up T4R with a little instrumental, really dated, sad hip hop music.
Boys, idea. All right. We need a sponsor for this. So business people, if you're listening, I will not rest until we have a T4R Nerf ball. All right. I want T4R Nerf footballs, promotional, cheap, tacky, trashy Nerf footballs that we can throw from the stage of the big room at Sojourn East. So it's going to be a foreigner show, and I'm throwing footballs off the stage. There it is. We need a sponsor for this, boys.
Wow.
Pipe, you're the business guy. What do you think it would take to finance, I don't know, a dozen Nerf footballs with our logo?
Like $5.50.
Yeah, that's what we need then. We're looking for $5.50.
No, I mean if we're getting them custom printed, probably like $15 or $20.
Okay. Not a piece though. That's for the whole lot, right?
No. That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. $15 or $20 for the whole thing. So I want a Nerf football sponsor. So Pipe, when you get on social media later today, let them know we're looking for a Nerf football sponsor for T4R. I want this deal done by the end of the week. Okay.
So baby, that's kind of, so I kind of like that, man. So that's your Christmas wish for T4R, man. You want someone to deliver you those balls.
Yes.
Is kind of the vibe I'm getting. All right.
Yes, I do. That's what I want.
All right. So Pipe, me and you each need to figure out what we want out of the deal. And then we'll see if our fans, we'll see if our loyal listeners, if they, you know, if they come to the table with our requests.
I really want to see this happen for Ted, considering.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah,
it's a little painful, but go ahead. If you have to bring it up, that's fine.
I feel like maybe there was a lack of generosity towards Ted at the last live event.
I agree. That's what my wife and I talked about on my sabbatical for like 4 months. We talked about nothing but that.
Your feelings about no swag. I mean, I came home with an Edgar Martinez bobblehead. I think Ronnie got like a case of tea, or at least a selection of tea.
That was a case of Youthberry. It was ridiculous. Okay.
I mean, it was a substantial, generous gift. And Ted got the warm affection of listeners, which is a real thing.
You know what I got? I got Wayne. Remember Fountains of Wayne? Mike?
You got Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did get your own Twitter account that you don't even have to run.
Fountains of Wayne, dude.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I got my own person.
All that to say, I would love to have the sponsor of the Happy Rant Nerf balls that Ted can throw at and to listeners at Together for the Rant in April.
Dude, and I'm going
to
keep like four of them. Please believe. I'm not throwing all those things out. So one of those is coming home and going right on the shelf in the
office.
My Lifeway Sales Awards Nerf balls. So
I don't have any of those either. So you and I have the same number of Lifeway Award Nerf balls.
I love it. Boys, we got a lot of work done on the show today. We got a lot of business done. And now we have a new sponsor appeal. I like this. Boys, we have wandered to and fro throughout this episode. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.